Let's turn in God's Word to Deuteronomy and chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10, we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 22. Deuteronomy chapter 10, and beginning in verse 1, these are the words of our God. At that time, the Lord said to me, "Hew for yourself two tablets of stone like the first, and come up to me on the mountain and make yourself an ark of wood. And I will write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke, and you shall put them in the ark." So I made an ark of acacia wood, hewed two tablets of stone like the first, and went up the mountain, having the two tablets in my hand. And he wrote on the tablets according to the first writing the Ten Commandments, which the Lord had spoken to you in the mountain from the midst of the fire, in the day of the assembly, and the Lord gave them to me. Then I turned and came down the mountain and put the tablets in the ark which I had made, and there they are, just as the Lord commanded me. Now the children of Israel journeyed from the wells of Bene Jaakan to Moserah, where Aaron died and where he was buried, and Eleazar his son ministered as priest in his stead. From there they journeyed to Gudgudah, from Gudgudah to Jotbatha, a land of rivers of water. At that time the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister to him, and to bless in his name to this day. Therefore Levi has no portion nor inheritance with his brethren. The Lord is his inheritance, just as the Lord your God promised him. As at the first time I stayed in the mountain 40 days and 40 nights, the Lord also heard me at that time, and the Lord chose not to destroy you. Then the Lord said to me, "Arise, begin your journey before the people, that they may go in and possess the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good. Indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God, also the earth with all that is in it. The Lord delighted only in your fathers to love them, and he chose their descendants after them, you above all peoples, as it is this day. Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart, and be stiff-necked no longer. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Therefore love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God, you shall serve him, and to him you shall hold fast and take oaths in his name. He is your praise, and he is your God, who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord your God has made you as the stars of heaven in multitude." Those are God's words. And if you remember the last chapter, chapter 9, the Lord through Moses was reminding the people of God that they had been delivered from Egypt and slavery and brought safely through the wilderness and are on the banks of the Jordan ready to cross into the promised land, but not for any reason in and of themselves, but for the righteousness of the Lord alone. Not their righteousness, not their works, but the righteousness of God alone and his power. Now he puts his mercy before them. So not just his grace and his righteousness and his power, but now his mercy. He puts that before them to encourage them and call them to obedience for the future when they do enter that land of Canaan, that land of rest. In verses 1 through 5, you remember the first tablets of stone. Moses came down carrying them, and he saw the people. They were worshiping the golden calf, and he, in anger, threw them down and broke them, because they had broken the commandments of God. And here, the first those first two tablets broken, the Lord gives the commands again to Israel on new tablets of stone to be put into the Ark of the Covenant that was carried by the Levitical priests, also mentioned here. And our God loves those He gives His commandments to. We see verses 6 through 9. Eleazar had become the high priest, the Levites chosen by the Lord to be His special inheritance, the special work of ministering to Him. And we ought to remember in this what the Lord should have done when they worshiped the golden calf. He should have destroyed them for their continual sin and disobedience to His commands. But He shows mercy. He's the God of patience with His children. And we remember that we are so ungodly and constantly turning from Him, even as His children, that while we were still helpless, Christ died for the ungodly. And then verse 12, to the end, our Lord gives the many motives. There's many motives here for fearing Him, for obeying His commandments and loving Him, and for serving Him. Our God has made a covenant out of His grace to us today. And so we must ask the question, what does the Lord of our God ask of us? As His people, what does He ask of you? But to fear Him, to walk in His ways, to love Him, to serve Him, and keep His commandments. He's given His own Son for you. He did not spare Him. Did not hold Him back, remember? But He delivered Him over for you, God's people, to death, to the wrath, His wrath. How do you respond to that? How do you live now accordingly? But to fear Him, to walk in His ways, to love Him, serve Him, and keep His commandments. Because if you love God, you will keep His commandments. Let's pray. Our Father, we give You praise that You are a God who is so merciful to us. You're abounding in covenant mercy. We think of Psalm 23. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. And we know the language there is that God, You in Your goodness and mercy will follow us wherever we go. Just like You followed the prodigal son in the parable. And You brought him home. We're thankful that You are a gracious God. A God who gives us Your commandments, that we might know who You are, that we might know how to love You, how to serve You, how to fear You, etc. And You don't leave us in the dark, but You shine Your light and give us Your commandments because You love us and care for us. And Father, we see the perfect obedience of Your Son in keeping Your commandments. So that now we even more clearly see who You are and how we ought to live. And Father, we pray that You will and plead with You that You will care for us, that You will redeem Your elect, chosen people, and save them from their sins, and save them from eternal destruction. We ask that You would be in the hearts of all of us here this morning. There are some here who do not know You. from our children, even perhaps to some adults. We ask that you would remind them of the gospel today, of what they've heard, for all of us have heard it before. We ask that you would send your Holy Spirit. It's only your Holy Spirit who can change our hearts, who can circumcise the foreskin of our hearts, as we heard in this passage. And so, Father, we ask that you would do so. And you would make our hearts soft and change the nature that is always towards sinning to hate sin and to love you and to believe in you and in your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins upon the cross, was buried and rose from the dead on the third day according to the Scriptures. And now he sits enthroned in glory, and he is called the God of gods and Lord of lords, as we heard in our passage here. Father, we ask that you would watch over your people, the body of Christ, this congregation even. You would keep us from error, keep us from false teaching, keep us from division and divisive spirits. When wolves do come in, because you say they will come in, Father, we ask that especially the elders would stand firm and deal with such people justly and with great haste as under shepherds of your flock. We pray that you would give us all discernment according to your word alone, to know good and evil, that we would not fall or turn from your ways and your commandments. We pray also that for those who are not feeling well, we pray and ask for your help for those who are continually suffering and struggling in their bodies, like Dina and Michelle and off and on Jeannie and Russ and others. Father, we ask that you would heal your people, strengthen them. Father, we ask that you would be with those who are doing in school as our children, and those who are in college like Oscar, and ask also as well for Shane and Lillian as they strive for better occupations and ones that will benefit their family and even your church. Father, we ask that you would also be with the congregations in our presbytery who struggle. You know who they are. And Father, we ask that you would be with those congregations as well who don't have pastors, that you would provide new pastors, that you would call them to those congregations and bring the right man for those congregations, that you would bless them with a regular preaching ministry. We think of the church in Denison and Casper, Wyoming, even Columbia, Missouri, and places like Oklahoma City, just to name a few. Father, we ask that you would be with those pastors in our presbytery who are hurting because of struggles, being overly working and being stressed to not have clear direction anymore. We ask that you would care for them and build them up, even those who've lost children. This past year, we pray for Sam McCracken and his wife and family. And then, Father, we do ask that you would be with the whole church throughout the world, your people who believe and profess your name, the visible church on earth. We ask that the gospel would go forth today, this Lord's Day, boldly and faithfully, and that you would turn false teachers and turn weak pastors and elders, those who lack courage and boldness, Father, turn them from their sin and man-pleasing to you. Those who are faithful, we ask that you would bless and you would build up your church. We pray for the good of your kingdom and for the growth of it. Pray also for those persecuted and harmed by the world. You would give them strength and faith. That you would cause them never to turn from you, but stand faithfully in the way, walking on a narrow path. We pray for them and for their life. Father, in all these things, we ask for your help. We ask for your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Father, as we continue now in worship, we ask that you give us our daily bread, even your word, the bread of life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.